Well, what's left out of the garden? What's worth saving? Look at this. The overnight lows tonight, 9. That's not bad. Tomorrow, +3, the overnight low. Sunday night, -3. Alert, alert. So let's call in our Garden Talk host, Rick Van Dyvendyke, to tell us what to do. Those are some potentially frosty overnight lows coming here gradually, Rick.
Yeah, time to pick those last green tomatoes, you know, that you've been waiting for them to ripen, and ripen them inside on some paper, and don't let them touch each other, and they'll ripen fine inside.
So are you supposed to put those in a darker area, or does it matter?
It doesn't really matter. Okay. No, it can be darker, lighter, doesn't matter. But, you know, people ask me mostly about carrots and potatoes. What do I do with those?
All right, tell us.
I leave mine in the garden as long as I can. In fact, sometimes I'll put a tarp over top just to hold the heat in the ground, and I can harvest potatoes and carrots right into November.
Wow, okay. So, all right. That's good to know.
So they're nice and fresh when you keep them. They get sweeter and sweeter as you put them, especially the carrots.
All right.
As you leave them in the garden.
What about lifting your summer bulbs and where to store them?
Yeah, now it's time to lift the summer bulbs, all your dahlias, all your dahlias and your gladiola bulbs and your cannas and calla lilies, those kind of things. Those ones you want to start lifting now, and then let them pull them up. If they're still green on the top, let them dry out. Lay them on some paper or hang them or whatever, and let them dry. Let the stems turn brown on the bulb. And then once they dry off, cut the green off, and then store them in a paper bag. That's probably the best. And with just a little bit of peat moss, and then just a little bit of moisture, you can put some garden sulfur in, just so that they don't get any funguses or molds in them. And then just put them in a cool, dark place. And then in next April, you can bring them out and put them in pots and get them ready to go next year.
You have an idea for everything, Rick Van Dyvendyke from Garden Talk. Sunday morning at 9, he returns, and, -3 on Sunday night, so I'm thinking, is there an opportunity to water the shrubs and trees and lawn one last time here then, or is that a good idea?
Yeah, absolutely. Deep watering your plants in the fall, especially just before you turn your water off, is the best, because you're going to want to turn off your manifolds where you have underground sprinklers in, and you want to blow those all out and get them ready to go now, and now it's time. But, you know, if you want to, the ground's not going to freeze for a little bit yet. So you can always, if you have a tap that's dedicated tap that's not hooked up to a manifold, you can always water your plants a little bit later. I like using for my trees a root feeder, because then you get the water down deep where the roots are, and then you get them set up for wintertime, and the plants just do so much better.
Okay, Rick, one other thing I was going to ask is there anything you can do to protect your plants or trees and shrubs from critters through the winter? And what do you recommend?
Yeah, right now, especially if you've got fruit trees or flowering crabs, anything with a sweet bark, put a tree wrap or tree guard around the trunk so that, especially there's so many in Regina, not even around, there's so many jackrabbits around now. It's crazy. So they love the sweet taste of apple bark and that kind of stuff for the dessert, you know. So make sure that you cover those up. Voles, if you've got voles, especially if you live near a grass area or park area, and what I like doing is putting a shoebox out and cut a hole in the bottom where this mice can get in, the voles get in, and then put a snap trap, a cheap wooden snap trap, and put peanut butter and a craisin or a raisin on top of that, and then you'll catch all the voles with that. They'll be attracted to that, and then they won't go and mess up your lawn in the wintertime underneath the snow or eat some of your trees as well.
Rick Van Dyvendyke from Garden Talk. I got to ask one more time because it seems to be a regular text question. Next time you're talking to Rick, ask him. Everyone's complaining about fruit flies. I think it was the last time I had you on the show. You gave a great way to combat fruit flies in the house. So share that one more time because I get it asked all the time.
Wow, fruit flies is an easy one. Just everybody usually has a little bit of white vinegar in their house or some flavored vinegar. Put it in a cup and put just a drop of dish soap in. Put some saran wrap over top of that, poke some holes in it, and you'll catch all the fruit flies in your house that way, real easy.
Easy peasy, I love it. Well, Rick, what do you do now? Like, we're getting there. We're, you know, a little more watering, and we're done. Are you going into hibernation the rest of winter or what?
No, there's still lots to do and get ready for next spring already, and, just doing stuff in the greenhouse and getting fixed up and getting things ready to go for next year. We're doing a lot of ordering right now, so, no, there's lots to do for spring. It never stops.
Okay, Rick. Rick Van Dyvendyke, thanks for your time.
Have a great weekend.
All right, this is The Fate of Ophelia, new Taylor Swift song. What are you thinking of this one here? Oh, there he is. He's popping a little. Starting to tap his toe. That's Kevin Martell. What do you think, Kevin?
You know, I've heard a couple songs now, at least a couple snippets of some of her new songs, and it sounds certainly a lot more poppy, doesn't it, this album, than the last one I remember, and I mean, I only heard a couple songs from it, but it seemed a lot like, darker.
That's the opening single, and I have to admit, I listened to quite a bit of it this morning as I was getting ready for the show, just out of curiosity, and I like a lot of the other songs. And I have girls in my household. So, yeah, there's, although she's getting to the point now, starting to edge out of Swiftiness, but there's still some left over. I think it'll be reborn with this album.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And people are talking about this, and, whether it's a positive or negative, whether you hate her, whether you love her, I mean, you're probably going to hear a lot about her in the next, several days, several weeks. With this album, though, Greg, I mean, it's already like millions of people were getting it in pre-sale on like streaming services before it even came out. So you know it's going to be big.
Yeah. And it's so amazing to watch how she markets herself. She's the best in the business. There's a 90-minute movie of just behind the scenes making of this album and, premiering the video for the first single in a 90-minute movie today, tomorrow, Sunday in theaters. And it's not like top movie ticket price. I can't recall what it is. But many of the showings in Regina are already sold out.
I always find that very interesting. And, even taking the specific artist or music out of it, and exactly just that, the marketing strategy, which you can apply to your business, perhaps, or any other business. You can always learn something from how well she does things.
Yes. Well, something that we all learned last night is...
The New York Yankees!
The New York Yankees!
Blue Jays fans
it is
are ready.
Set. It is set. It will be the Toronto Blue Jays against the New York Yankees. The Yankees come back in that wild card series after losing the opening game to the Boston Red Sox, but they get her done. They win the next two. And it means that, remember, Toronto, these two teams technically tied. They had the same record. But because Toronto won the head-to-head, Toronto won the division. And so they'll get home field advantage in this series, which could be very important, will be very important against a tough team like the Yankees.
Yeah. So the first two games are in Toronto, tomorrow and Sunday, I think 2:08. And then it moves to New York, Tuesday, Wednesday.
And then it would be back if Game 5 is
next Friday to start the long weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. If it even gets to that.
You're
maybe
a baseball fan. Come on now. I am not a big ball fan. Yeah. I don't know any better than you. Who do you think is going to win this series? And it's not about we want the Jays to win. Well, I know you don't. You're a Mariners fan. But
well, here's the issue with the Jays. Jays fans will know. The last two playoffs, the last two postseasons for the Blue Jays have not been good. They lost to Seattle. They had an 8-1 lead and let that slip away and let Seattle win that series. And the last time against Minnesota, there was a lot of critique that their big stars did not come out to play the Blue Jays in that series a couple of years ago. And they lost to Minnesota. They got swept in the wild card round. So hopefully for Blue Jays fans, they can turn it around because the Yankees are a good team and they have arguably the best hitter in the entire league in Aaron Judge.
Okay. I think I'll watch a little baseball this weekend.
There you go.
Thank you, Kevin, for that synopsis of how it's going to go. Riders tonight, you said it best. This is a matchup of...
The worst team in the CFL standings against the best team in the CFL standings. So
Campbell Fair is kicking.
Yeah, for the Riders, take over Brett Lawther. If the Riders can't win this game, Greg, do you start to worry a little bit? They've already lost two in a row, but if you can't beat the worst team in the league...
Yeah.
You got to ask yourself some serious questions.
No, I think I'm surprised how many fans have gone bonkers over losing two games. I think you deserve to go a little more bonkers if they lose to Ottawa, who's on a two-game losing skid too. But you can't take them lightly. And I think just the whole drama of tonight is Campbell Fair, this young rookie who many Rider fans have said, okay, Brett Lawther's got to go. I probably am one of those in the camp of saying, okay, Lawther, it's time. And this is his test. If he can't boot it a few times, 50-plus yards or a become a clutch field goal.
Yeah.
Belton Johnson has them, the Riders winning 28-25.
Ooh, that's close.
He's putting it on Campbell Fair, I think, there, as far as, but this is the big test tonight for Rider fans.
And important to note, if the Riders win and the Lions lose, the Riders will clinch a home playoff game.
Good to know. Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. Typical fall morning start to the weekend here. The sun is coming up, a scattered cloud or two, and it's going to get a little cooler by Sunday. But man, fall not only looks beautiful, but it has also, of course, seen the harvest come to a close slowly but surely. We're a little behind than where we were this time of year last year, that's for sure. Latest report shows 84% in the bin, but hopefully there's a slim chance of shower this afternoon or overnight. I don't think it's going to be enough to really grind the harvest to a halt on the weekend here, but certainly going to get a little frostier by Sunday night, -3. And fall, there's just so much sports to be watching. I can't wait for the return of the NHL next week. Yeah, it officially starts Tuesday. The Oilers will open up on Wednesday, but of course, baseball fans.
Popped up McMahon, and the Yankees have completed step one on their way back to a World Series.
Yeah, now we know the Yankees and Jays, best of five, beginning tomorrow, and that's about 2 hour time tomorrow. Game two is Sunday, same time, from Toronto. Then games three and four move to New York on Tuesday and Wednesday. If there's a game five, it will be back in Toronto next Friday night, headed into your Thanksgiving Day long weekend. Lots of excitement over the Jays. I've jumped on the bandwagon. I might tune into a little of that action myself this weekend. It's also going to be a busy one. If you're a parent with hockey kids, I feel for you. It's only beginning, right? The hockey evaluations coming to a close this weekend, and a lot of kids already have their practice schedules for the new teams starting next week, but a few more evaluations this weekend for some I know, and then it just gets crazy busy, right, for the next 3 or 4 months with hockey. To and from tournaments on the weekend, back and forth from the rinks. Plenty going on this weekend around town. Globe Theater, we're proud that on the Rawlinson stage, the first production is The Master Plan. They tell me it's a comedy about politics and bureaucracy. And earlier in the week, I had Jennifer Bruin, the director of the show. And she was telling me how all the amazing tech and lighting they've incorporated in that new Globe Theater rebuild is really one of the stars of this show.
Well, it's like another character in the play, because play is about technology and high tech and how to make cities more efficient through technology. So we've incorporated that into the production. So I think Globe Theater goers are going to see the stage lit up and come to life in very new ways. So the Globe just looked beautiful with all this technology attached to it. And yeah, it's looking really good.
Tickets are available for that at Globe Theater this weekend over the German Club, celebrating Oktoberfest. Tonight's dinner sold out, but there's a lot of fun after it. And of course, tomorrow, a big family fun event at the German Club through the afternoon, and then building up to the biggie tomorrow night when the doors open at 6. It's rush seating, too. So it's going to be crazy fun with Oktoberfest this weekend as well. And hey, there's a corn maze or two. You can go out to the Happy Hollow one near Lumsden. South of us, there's Cedar Creek. And I think that's part of the plan on Sunday, which is going to be a little cool for us. We're hoping to get out to the Lumsden area and take a few pictures of the pumpkin patch there and enjoy ourselves. But certainly, oh, hey, I got to mention too, the U of R Rams. They're playing host to the Dinos. Kickoff is 2 o'clock tomorrow at the Mosaic Stadium. Rams are 4-1, and the Vanier Cup in our backyard this November. Wishing them well. Man, it would just be so cool to have the Rams in the Vanier Cup. It's looking good right now. Thunder are on a bye this week here.
Like
Well, here he comes again, Evan Bray, for a look at what's to come at 8:30 this morning. How are you feeling this Friday morning?
Well, we got a lot of sports stuff going on this weekend, don't we? We find out now officially who the Jays are going to be playing. We got the big Rider game tonight. I don't even know where to start.
Well, let's start with the Riders. How are you feeling about this?
I'm feeling confident.
Yeah, I think I am too.
Yeah, I am feeling confident. I mean, obviously the Riders have had a couple of tough games, tough losses, but this is still a strong team. We've got, Trevor Harris feeling good going into this game. He's talked about some of his aches and pains over the last little while. We have a new kicker. I mean, I'm excited to see Campbell Fair on
the
field.
And this is what the fans have been calling for, right? A change. Those, including myself, have said maybe we need to look elsewhere.
Yeah.
And this kid, no pressure, but there is a lot of pressure on him.
There is a lot of pressure, but as I think you and I chatted about the other day, is he's going back home in many ways because he played his junior ball in Ottawa.
Yeah. And, I think The test is, and Belton Johnston's coming up here in a few minutes. I'll see what he feels on this one here too. But I think he has to prove himself.
Yeah.
In a clutch kick.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, if it's a tight game, and I don't want it to be because I want the Riders to just dominate.
We don't want it to come down to a touchdown, to be clear.
But hopefully he's ready for a clutch kick. And more importantly, just see what kind of distance he has here too.
Well, I know like they made a lot of hype about the fact he kicked a 55-yarder no problem in his junior career. So he's got a leg. There's no doubt about that.
All right. So I have the Riders winning 34-21. How about you?
Okay. I've got 31-14.
Yeah.
So I'm giving not only the Riders a strong win, but I'm saying they're going to hold the Red Blacks to few points.
All right. You're going to explore this game a little later on the show?
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to have Jamie Nye kick off the show. Have you heard of him?
Oh, yeah. Jamie, yeah.
It's a busy day for him. He's starting bright and early with me. And then, of course, normally Green Zone at 2 o'clock, but he's got his pregame show at 3:30. So, yeah, it's going to be a busy day for
him. He's a workaholic that night.
He's a workaholic. He
really
just doesn't stop. And you and I were talking about ball. I'm hyped up for the Jays playing the Yankees. They wouldn't have been my first pick.
Yeah.
I'm worried about their bats. I think they've got
Kevin Martell said the same thing.
Good
hitters
on that team, and I watched the game last night. They beat the Red Sox quite handily in that game. So
will the Jays win?
I hope so. I mean, I don't follow ball close enough to be anything but a homer, right? I'm cheering for the Blue Jays because I want to see them win. But you know, I was talking last night with Jody about the infamous Blue Jays playoff moments. Think about the Joe Carter home run in the early '90s. Think about the Batista bat flip. What is October bringing
us? What's the next magic moment for the Blue Jays?
What's the big moment for the Blue Jays?
So I know you've been talking a lot about oil and pipelines, and of course, Alberta's Premier Danielle Smith proposed her province is ready to spend $14 million of taxpayers' money to get it going into BC's northern coast. She's not wanting to pay for it all, but she's hoping a private company will pick it up from there. And it's just nothing is in the clear here to make this happen. And of course, you know, First Nations saying that nothing's coming through the BC north there.
Yeah.
As far as they're concerned.
I mean, I said yesterday, the more I hear of Premier Eby from BC, the less I like the guy. Like I find him quite obnoxious. He wants to fold his arms on all of this stuff. I like this move by Danielle Smith because number one, it shows the Alberta government is ready to light the spark, right? So you mentioned the $14 million seed money to get it going. She's got the major pipeline companies on board, but what she needs is the federal government to change regulations. So the ball now is in Mark Carney's court. Will we hold our breath for this change? That's going to be the topic on Open Lines this morning on the show.
Okay. All right. So a little oil, football, anything
oil,
else?
Football. We're going to talk FSIN. There's lots of twists and turns in this audit that they had done of their finances. So we'll bring a reporter in to chat a little bit about that. And then, I mean, it's Friday, Greg. Bugs and Hugs. Belton Johnson, it's eating time. Green and White Progs. This is a fun show.
Well, I know this whole pipeline thing is a bit of a bug of yours right now. So who would you like to hug if you were going to hug someone right now?
You know what? I'm going to send a hug out to, there's a sub place. Have you heard of Fireside Subs? Firehouse Subs? Firehouse Subs have the foundation where they provide funding for volunteer fire departments all over Canada. And right here in Saskatchewan, they've pumped thousands of dollars into equipment for volunteer fire departments. These are in small communities that often don't have the budgets to buy this equipment. They've got a big day happening tomorrow. We're going to feature that on Bugs and Hugs.
That is
today.
A worthy hug.
That's a good hug.
And awesome work what they're doing. But I suspect now they're going to say, hey, would you like a sub? What are you going to have?
Probably something Chipotle. Love Chipotle.
728.